And what a great promise that is. He will never leave us alone. It is truly good, truly, truly good to be able to awake on this morning knowing that God is still in control.
Yes.
And that whatever we do and whatever we say, that God will be pleased with it as long as we are doing His will. So as we gather together on this morning to sing praises unto God, and I really appreciate, Brother Thanopoulos, those hymns that you have selected on this morning, and just to call two names, Brother Butch and Sister Sandra. I really enjoy just two now. There's many more, but just those two right now. Enjoy hearing them uplift their voices unto the Lord. I was told on Wednesday night that Brother Butch will deafen your ears if you're close to him when he's singing. He stands by the mic on Wednesday night, but he does not need a mic. He has a powerful voice, and he is singing praises unto God. And I'm not saying that no one else is lifting their voices unto the Lord. I hear more voices that are singing, and I really appreciate that because we are here to edify one another, to uplift one another, that we may all find joy in serving the Lord and doing what God is pleased with. So this morning, I would like to direct your minds to the subject of, can we understand the Bible alike? Can we understand the Bible alike? And the only way that we are going to be able to do this is back up now. Don't worry about that first slide. All it says is, can we understand the Bible alike? Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. You know, when we find passages like this in the Bible or like that in the Bible, you don't see it, but I see it. It's in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. He's calling the children of Israel to repentance. And if we are called to do something and we know it's right, we should do it. We should not delay. We should be in a hurry to get our lives right with God. And that's what this subject is all about. Can we understand the Bible alike? Doing what God is pleased with, saying the things that we know that are right. And when we're shown something in God's Word that we will not, you know, reject it, but we will accept it because this is pleasing to Him. This is what He would like for us to do. There are many congregations of God's people that are serving Him on this morning. And there are some preaching one thing and some preaching another. There are some using the Bible as their guide and some has some manual that some man has written. But I want us to know that if we go outside of God's Word saying that we are preaching His Word, we are wrong. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. And somebody has been telling you something that they say is right, but they have never been able to show it to you. You need to reject them. You need to put their feet to the fire. You need to say, show me in God's Word what you're talking about. Show me how I'm supposed to become a Christian according to God's Word and not your opinions. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the verses 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the verses 10. As Paul is talking to the church of Corinth here, there are some problems that are going on. There are some problems because individuals do not understand or do not want to understand and comprehend what is being taught. They're all confused, and as they are being confused, as some others may be, they're confused because they've gotten away from the Word of God.
Amen.
Paul says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. United. He wants them to come together. He wants them to be of the same mind. He wants them to do the same things. He wants them to apply the same word. Why? Why do men get away from God's word? One reason I want to put forth to you that individuals get away from God's word is because they're no longer willing to do what God has commanded. Maybe it's because that some have fallen away from doing what is right and they want to follow after them, or they want to bring them back, so they get away from God's word. King James says, I beseech you, brothers, or brethren, I'm begging you, let's get back to God's word. Let's not have any divisions among us. Let's do what is right. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And this is the only way that we're going to be able to do what's right, is that we remember who is in charge. That we remember what God has done for us by sending His Son to this earth to be crucified, buried, and raised up on the third day to ascend into heaven, to sit up on the right hand of the Father. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do in word or deed, in word or deed, the things in which we say, the actions in which we take. You know, we can say a whole lot of things, but our actions will really show who we really are. I was sitting back and I was thinking before I came up here how your actions show how much you not only love God, but how you love others. I was thinking how a whole group of you just traveled to Akron, Ohio, to spend time with the Wright family in their time of need. And I can't remember the young lady's name, but how you all traveled up there when her husband died to comfort her. How even some of you went to the funeral of Brother Bond's wife on yesterday. You know, words sometimes can't express how we really feel. We have to show action. So whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. See, when we say something, we need to be able to back it up by our actions. There's a lot of people, you know, they say talk is cheap. What are you going to do about what you're saying? You say that you love God. You say that you love Christ. Show that you love Him by doing something. Can we understand the Word of God? Can we understand the Bible like? Yes, we can. When you are truly showing that you love others as you love yourselves. Because this is an understanding that we get out of God's Word. If you want someone to be there for you, you need to be there for someone. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Understanding the Word of God, you know, what causes one to understand the Bible alike? We've gotten away from teaching God's Word to our children the way we should teach them. We've gotten away from instilling God's Word into their minds so that whenever they go out of the house, they understand that they're supposed to be Christ-like. They're supposed to be the example that God would have them to be. In the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11, verse 18 and 19. Deuteronomy, chapter 11, verse 18 and 19. You shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes, and shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting down or in your house, or when you are walking by the way, or when you lie down, or when you rise up. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house, your houses, or on your gates. God's Word. We need to teach it the way it is written. We need to teach it to our children, no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing. We need to take time to teach them God's Word. We've gotten away from this. We've gotten away from it because we allowed other things to cloud our minds. We allowed our children to say, Mama, have you ever heard this song right here? And this song is by some artist that sings about trash. And they're asking the parent, have you ever heard this song? And the parents say, well, no, let me listen to it. And then when they listened to the song, it got all this junk in it. And instead of you saying you shouldn't be listening to that, you said that is a nice song. Well, you should be telling them, allow no corrupt communication to proceed out of your mouth. Do not allow that trash to be played in my house. See, we've gotten away from God's Word. We have quit teaching our children the importance of putting God first in their lives. And we need to get back to it. A lot of times, fathers, we're not doing our job. We're not teaching our children the way we need to teach them. We're not teaching them, so therefore we do not get the respect that we deserve. That God has told our children to give unto us, according to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, honor your parents in the Lord for this, or obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's the first commandment with a promise. But he tells the fathers there in verse 4, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord, or the nurture or the admonition of the Lord. Bring them up. Teach them God's Word. Can we understand the Bible alike? Do we understand the importance of teaching God's Word to our children? We teach God's Word to our children because we know that one day we're going to die. Amen. We know and we understand that one day they're going to die. And we all should understand that we're going to stand before the judgment throne. And we're going to have to give an account of whatever we've done in this body, whether good or whether bad. Can we understand the Bible alike? In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. There are some things that some people do not want to hear about coming from God's Word. The reason they don't want to hear these things is because it may make them think about changing their position. It may make them think about changing their ways. It may make them know that the man that has been teaching them so-called God's Word, that it really wasn't God's Word. But 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11 says, whoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, speak as the oracles of God, as the Word of God. Speak concerning the things that will cause someone to change their life before it is too late. Speak. This is what will cause us all to understand the Bible alike. When we do the things that God is pleased with, when we go to the Bible and we use the Bible as our guide, we can't use another book and say, well, you know, this right here is not the Bible. This right here is the book that some other man has written apart from God's Word because he said God has given him a new revelation. That's not what we need. We don't need that. We need God's Word. Yes, there are some study aids out there, some study guides to help us to better understand God's Word. But we don't need another revelation from God that some man has written. Because if he gives one a revelation, don't you know that he'll give another? There are several books that you may have, you know, someone may have tried to introduce to you. The Book of Mormon, another testament of Jesus Christ. We don't need another testament of Jesus Christ. We have the New Testament. That's the only one we need. If we have another testament, that means that the one that we call new is no longer new, is it? It's now what? It's another Old Testament. Jesus has died. He left the testament for us. And therefore, we look at this covenant that He's left to us and we apply it to our lives and we do the things that's right. A New World Translation. Don't need it. Don't need it. We need the Bible. We want to understand the Bible alike. We want to do the things that God, you know, will have us to do. When a man looks at the book that in which some other man has written and said, now this is the book in which you should be studying by, and when we are supposed to be praised and giving honor to God, and they make him a lowercase g, we don't need that. He's the all-supreme. He's the almighty God. He's the one that we're supposed to be serving. So can we understand the Bible alike? The only way we can understand the Bible alike is that we're using the Bible. Amen. That's the only way. There's no other way. in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Forever. God is the one that needs to be glorified. God is the one that desires to be glorified. It's not about you and it's not about me. It's all about God. Because in the end, we're going to have to give an account of what we have done, not to one another, but unto God. Understanding the Word of God. Understanding is defined as the power to comprehend. The power to comprehend. You know, we ask that with children sometimes, do they understand what we're talking about? If they don't understand, you know what we need to do? We need to set them down. We need to break it down to them. Come on in here. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. And then you can really see really if they know what we're saying or not. Because sometimes they'll say, no, I don't want to hear it. That means they already know. But understanding, the power to comprehend. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. Understanding God's Word. To be able to comprehend God's Word. Study. This is going to help us to comprehend God's Word. And what does study mean? An application of the mental faculties to obtain knowledge. There are so many people that don't really want to study. There are children in school, they don't want to study, so when it comes down to taking a test, they're looking over at their friend's paper, not realizing that some of the friend's papers in whom they're looking on, they did not study either. And both of them fail the test. Search. We need to search some things, don't we? In order to understand the Bible life. To go through carefully in order to find something. Go through carefully. You're looking for something in your file. You know, you got this big file cabinet here and you want to find something and you filed it out of order. So now you know what you have to do? You have to search for it. Carefully, because sometimes papers stick together. And as they stick together, you need to pull them apart. You may miss something. Some of you have some Bibles out there that the pages are still sticking together. Why? Because you're not searching the Scriptures. Oh, my Bible don't have that in it anymore. Yeah, your Bible do. The pages are just stuck together like this. Pull them apart. Take the time. You know, separate those things. Seek to try to acquire or gain. Seek. How many of us are trying to acquire something this morning? A better understanding out of God's Word so that we can all understand the Bible alike. And then we need to be steadfast. Firm in belief. Steadfast. Not allowing anything or anybody to move you because you know that what you're doing is according to God's will. According to His purpose. You're doing these things so you are steadfast. How many of you? Understanding the Word of God. It requires studying. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, the verse is 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, the verse is 15. Paul writes unto Timothy. And he tells them here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. To study to show himself approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. So understanding God's word requires studying. How many of us are willing to set out and study God's word? How many? If you're not willing to study His word, you're not willing to obey His commands. Because that's where you're going to find His commands or in His word, knowing what you should do, whether it's to do something right or do something wrong. You're going to find it in His word. And if we keep choosing wrong, we're not studying properly. Amen. We're not applying God's Word the way we need to apply it. So we need to change. Well, what is God's Word? That's 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Am I right or wrong? I'm wrong. That's 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Go ahead and read that for me, brother. Go ahead. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. require studying God's Word. If we do not open it up, we're not going to know what it says. Because this is His God-breathed, this is God-breathed from Him, His Word. All Scripture, not some of it. Well, you know, I really don't think that applies to me. Well, who does it apply to? He's not telling you to build an ark. He's telling you to obey His commands. He's not telling you to part the Red Sea. He's telling you to obey His commands. He's not even telling you to come down out of a juniper tree. He's just telling you to obey His commands. Because it's His Word. It's something that we need to do. It's something that we need to apply to our lives. And it's going to require searching. I may stand before you and tell you anything. The only way that you're going to know if it's true or not is that you are searching the Scriptures. I may have told you before. If not, I'm going to tell you now. Brother Marshall Keeble, he was preaching a lesson. I was listening to it online. And that brother, he didn't call out one Scripture reference. But you know what he did in his lesson? He quoted a whole lot of Scripture. And at the very end, you know what he told them? He said, "It's there. You go look it up. You go look it up." You know what you had to be doing in order to know what he was saying was true? You had to be listening. You had to be taking notes. And then as you were looking it up, it just so happened you ran across one of the Scriptures. He said, there it is right there. That's one of the Scriptures that he quoted. But he didn't tell you where it was. This book, it has been separated, this book, chapter, and verse thing, by man. Why? To make it convenient for us to understand. Quick reference. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Well, what must we do? We must do like as they did. When individuals were told something, and we find in the Bible, they just didn't take it to be true. They didn't take it to be His doctrine. They didn't take it to be His God's Word. They were ready to receive it, the Bible says, with a readiness of mind. But they did what? They searched the Scriptures daily to make sure that those things that were told to them were true. Are we doing that now? Are we acting the way that we're supposed to act? Are we being the people that God would have us to be? Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Now to Him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the Scripture of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Obedience of faith. It's been made known. Search the Scriptures in order to find out what God would have you to do. If you don't want to know, don't search. If you don't want to know something, don't ask any questions. The Bible is available for all to understand. And we can understand it alike. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it requires seeking. Jim Jones, many of you have heard of him. Many of you may even remember. Just not hearing. You saw it on the news. You was alive at that time, and many of you were not. Some of you are too young to know who Jim Jones was. But I'm pretty sure you've heard people say, "Don't drink the Kool-Aid." Jim Jones led hundreds of people astray. One of my good friends, his mother was there, or his brother, and guess what happened? They drank the Kool-Aid. And they died. They died because, and they drank the Kool-Aid because they allowed one man to tell them what God wanted them to do. We have to search the Scriptures. We have to study God's Word. We have to seek. And it says here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Okay, how can you seek after God if someone told you that there is a God when you do not open up His Word? If the elders came, all four of them just stood up here at the same time and said, okay, I want y'all to bring your Bibles up here and I want you to put them here because we're no longer going to use them. How many of you would obey that? How many of you would get up and leave? Or how many of you would sit there and say, you men need to sit down? Different approaches, isn't it? But you know what this calls for? It calls for seeking after God's way. That's what it calls for. It calls for us to be able to open up His Word and say, no, we're not going to do that. Why? Because we all need to study. We all need to apply God's Word to our lives. We all need to be able to read it and understand it for ourselves. It requires seeking. It even requires sharing to be able to understand the Word of God. And I'm not going to go through all of Acts chapter 8, verse 29 and 39. I'm just going to give you some highlights of it real quick. It requires sharing. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian and you want to understand the Bible like we understand it. But you are unable to do so. What we find here in the account when Philip was led to the chariot of the eunuch, and he walked up on the eunuch there, sitting in the chair, reading out of the prophet Isaiah. And he asked him one simple question. Do you understand what you're reading? And he said, no. He was honest. He said, no, I don't understand. How can I except some man guide me? See, we have some individuals that do not want to be honest with themselves. They do not want to admit that they don't understand what they've been reading. They don't want to admit that they don't understand what it means to become a Christian. They don't want to admit that they do not understand what it means how to become a Christian. They don't want to admit those things, but yet they want to understand the Bible like everybody else. Invite somebody, like the eunuch did, to sit with them and teach them God's Word. Allow Jesus Christ to be preached unto you, as did the eunuch. It requires sharing. See, if you know something I don't know, share it with me from God's Word. There's some things that you know I don't want to know. But when it comes from God's Word, share it with me so that I may understand the Bible like you understand it. Because there is a whole lot of confusion. And the confusion comes from man, not from God. He is not the author of confusion, but the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. As he preached Jesus up on this, unto this eunuch, it meant that he told him that Jesus was born of a virgin. It meant that he told him that Jesus healed the lame. He caused the blind to see. It meant that he was told that Jesus was baptized by John. It meant that he was told that Jesus, he did a whole lot of things that led him to the cross. That's what it means to have Jesus preached unto you. And that Jesus was crucified, buried, and raised up on the third day to sit upon the right hand of the Father. And as this was being preached unto the eunuch, and as they were traveling along, it wasn't any need to sit back there because they were where? They was in the desert. But when they came to a point in that desert where there was much water, the eunuch said, here is much water. What could hinder me to be baptized? Understanding the Bible alike. The eunuch now had an understanding. At first he said, who is this man talking about, himself or some other prophet? Philip told him who Isaiah was talking about. And he said, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you may. And he did. He believed that. And he made that confession that he believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And he had, you know, as he commanded that chariot to stop, he said they both went down into the water and he baptized them. So understand the Bible like means that you know now what it means to become a Christian. And once you become a Christian, as the eunuch went away rejoicing, the scriptures teach us, it requires steadfastness. Don't move. Do not say, well, you know, if you say this and I do this and we'll go back and forth like this and we'll compromise God's word. No. Be steadfast, unmovable. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, always do what is right. Do what God requires of you. Be the person that God would have you to be. Be the example to other believers that they too may be provoked unto love and good works. That they may go out and they may share God's word with someone else. And as they share God's word with someone else, that person began to seek. That person began to search. That person began to study. And then that person said, now here is much water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And you baptize them. First you need to go. According to Matthew chapter 28, you go as it has been commanded for you to. You teach as it has been commanded for you to. You baptize and then you continue to teach. These things are important. We need to live the way God would have us to live. We need to be steadfast, always doing what is right. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 13. For we write none other things unto you than what you read or acknowledge. And I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end. You understand not just right now, but you understand to the end, because we know what's going to happen in the end. If you're faithful, you're going to get a crown of life. If you're unfaithful, you're going to get everlasting punishment. We always want something good, never anything bad. So let's do what is right. Let's be who God wants us to be. It requires sealing our faith, doing what we know that we have already been commanded to do. This is what understanding in the Bible alike will do for us. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Quickly now. So he's saying, well, you know, God, I've been living for you for a long time now. You said in your word you're going to come quickly. His quickly is not necessarily our quickly. You ever done something to somebody and they told you when you least expect it? I mean, they're going to get you back. That's the type of God we serve. Oh, God, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do right now. Why don't you come right now? No, I'm not coming now. I'm going to come when you do not expect me to come. As a thief in the night. But he says, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Don't let anybody allow you to be moved. Live for God. Amen. Now and forever. And everything will be all right in the end. Keep trusting in Him. Maybe you're here and you're not a Christian and you're ready. You're ready to become one. There's no time like right now to come forth, make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and have your sins washed away in the water of grave baptism. Washed in the blood. Maybe you're here and you are a Christian. And your life is not what it needs to be. Your life is not what it should be. It's time to make a change right now. If you're here in your 17th invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing.